Hello, Radioland. Welcome to the Total Football Soccer Show, broadcast locally here in Richmond on WRAR 97.3. I'm Taylor, and seated around a surprisingly large set of tables are my partners in broadcasting. We've got Josh Stankus, who's currently sporting his USA jersey. Do you have another man's name on that jersey, or is it yours for now?
It's all mine.
Okay, all yours. Good. And we've got Albert, who tomorrow will be educating six-year-olds, which seems an appropriate demographic for you.
Yeah, no, we're on a level playing field, so it's good.
And we have Daryl Grove, who spent the last hour acting as Brian Ching's personal cheerleader.
Yeah, good, Brian.
All right, well, speaking of, I guess we'll talk more about Brian Ching later, but right now I have an important subject for you all to discuss. Josh and Albert, I believe, are currently abstaining from any and all English alcohol products or just English products in general?
Alcohol specifically.
Mainly alcohol, because I don't consume many other English products.
All right. And so this semi-boycott is in preparation for USA's game with England coming up. So my question for you all is this. Obviously, that's a little bit superstitious. I'm wondering, what's the most kind of ridiculous, strange, superstitious thing you all have ever done related to sports? Josh, we'll go with you first.
Whew, all right. So many of them. Playing soccer, I would never touch any of the inlines or 18s or 6s.
Whenever, so you're just OCD then? That's what you mean when you say?
That was when I was warming up, and that came from other sports too, particularly baseball. It's a superstition in that, but yeah, that's the big one for me.
Fair enough. Albert?
Well, unfortunately, mine involves David Beckham, and it's kind of shameful. In high school, I read an article where he showered before games, like relatively close before games.
In what magazine did you read that?
And so I decided that maybe for a while that should be what I did, and I did it for a while. It didn't really help me play any better. So I kind of stopped, and I said that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever done in preparation for a sporting event.
Al, I got to be honest. I think only you would consider showering a ridiculous activity.
Well, no, I just meant, never mind. It's really, I can't take myself out of this hole, so we're just going to stop.
Then we'll move it right along to Daryl. Daryl, what about you? Do you guys have superstitions in England?
Yeah, definitely. I personally don't, but I know a lot of players do. Do you remember one of your heroes, Paul Ince, used to not put his shirt on until he was on the field? Mm-hmm. Remember he used to come out of the tunnel with his shirt sort of half on and then pull it down?
That's good, because I believe I asked Paul Ince what his superstition was and not you. So let's try it again. Daryl, what's your superstition before games?
Also, Daryl, on that note, I used to do that when I was playing goalie too. I would wait till the last second to put my jersey on.
All right, well, Daryl, you're finishing fourth in this competition. Although mine is pretty lame as well. I just remember in high school I had long curly hair, and so I wore a headband once and I played really well. So I decided that I was going to find any excuse to wear a headband. So for the next 2 years, even when I had short hair, it was still like, no, it's long enough that it might get in my eyes, even though it's like an inch long. So I think we have not touching lines, showering before games, nothing, and a headband. Daryl's got one.
I never wear an undershirt. You know, like in cold days, people wear a t-shirt or a base layer. I don't do that.
I like it.
I suppose that counts. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we've all got one. You still finished fourth. But Daryl, do you feel at all picked on for your fourth place finish, or are you okay with it in this situation?
That's fine.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Well, then we'll move on from there to the issue of the hour. As we record this, the USA have just defeated El Salvador 2-1 in a friendly match, but not quite as ordinary as a friendly match, because it also doubles as an opportunity for some of the fringe American players to kind of prove why they should, or maybe in some cases tonight, shouldn't be involved in this coming World Cup. So I guess, Josh, since you're looking the most patriotic right now, what were your expectations heading into this game?
I mean, I wanted to see certain players that I enjoyed watching that I wanted to be on the team step up, while having some other players that I'm not as excited about step down, to be honest. Mm-hmm. That's what I was looking for.
Albert, would you agree with that?
Yeah, pretty much. It's a great opportunity for individuals. And so, you know, it's hard sometimes to temper expectations for the team as a whole. But in this situation, you kind of have to do that.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, you're going to come out maybe disappointed when there's no real reason to be disappointed.
Yeah. Now, obviously, the three of us are Americans. We're going to have like a vested interest in whether or not, you know, this guy will make the team over this guy. My question for you, Daryl, is, you know, you've said you're an England fan first, a USA fan second, and obviously you want to see the USA do well, but I guess my question for you is, like, this isn't, you know, the USA A team, it's maybe a combination of the USA B team and the USA C team, so is it like a less entertaining match for you knowing that it's not the big name players, or can you still get into it because you want to see who's going to go and who isn't?
Yeah, exactly that. I get into it because I want to see, who's going to go, who isn't. In a way, for a friendly match, it's more interesting when there's something at stake like that. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not just a run-of-the-mill friendly match where they just turn up, play, and it's done. Yeah. There was something at stake for guys like Robbie Findlay and Robbie Rogers tonight, and players not named Robbie as well.
Oh, well, actually, thank you for that segue, because I'll ask. So, were there any particular players that you guys were like looking forward to seeing that you thought maybe, you know, had something to prove going in, or were just overall you were excited to see? Al, you're shaking your head, so I'll let you go.
I did have a player I was excited to see, and that would be one Jeff Cunningham.
Yeah.
I guess as Taylor has said on a couple occasions now, I've developed a bit of a man crush on him, and so I was excited, and when he came into the game, I was very excited.
Yeah, I guess we're talking about Jeff Cunningham, who's an MLS player. He's 33 years old, and so this is, you know, obviously his last chance to make it, so obviously if he's your man crush, you wanted to be there.
Yeah.
But we'll discuss his performance later on.
Yes, we will.
We got issues here. Josh, maybe. What about you? Any players you were looking forward to?
I was excited to see Heath Pierce because I'd seen him two summers ago in the USA-Argentina game live, and kind of wondered what happened to him along the way in qualifying, so I was excited to see him.
Mm-hmm. So obviously, as we said, the USA... Daryl, you don't get to answer that question. Obviously, the USA got the win. What did you all personally find reassuring? Or Daryl, what did you find most intriguing about that victory?
Okay, well, what I find most intriguing was watching it with you guys, the reaction to Brian Ching.
We can talk about that. Brian Ching is the... I'm going to throw out embattled. That's going to be the adjective I'm going to use to describe
embattled.
Him. Yeah, he's an embattled forward. He's okay. He's performed at times, those times being few and far between. A lot of people, I think three people in this room, find it hard to really root for him to make this squad just because he hasn't really performed on the big stage in the past. But why don't you maybe take the counter-argument and throw out why you think he should be there?
Okay, well, we talked about this recently. Mm-hmm. We're sort of arguing that Brian Ching is... maybe the best target man that the US has to offer. And I think I've been thinking on this a lot because there's a similar situation in England with Emil Heskey where he's not popular, but he does a job. And I've realized the thing with Brian Ching is that he has sort of comedy moments. You know, there was a time in the game tonight where someone crossed it in and it looked like maybe he could get a shot at goal, but instead it bounced off of his knee.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Thank you for proving why he doesn't reassure us.
Well, and I'm saying it's easy to laugh at him, but at the same time, he scored the US's equalizer.
And he did get the assist.
And he got the assist on the second goal. So,
yeah, now, so two people sitting across from me who I think aren't the biggest fans of Brian Ching, there is the point to be made that he scored the goal, he assisted the other one, he came in and held the ball up, he did what he was supposed to do. You know, did Brian Ching do enough to make a case for why he should be in the 23-man roster?
I will say I was actually pretty impressed with him tonight, and I think Bob Bradley was extremely impressed. So saying that, he made a big step towards booking his plane flight. But it still amazed me every time the ball even came close to him, the three of us was like, oh.
Yeah, I mean, I think that when it comes to Brian Ching, you can't ask for a lot more than what he did in the second half for the U.S. I don't particularly like his style of play. I don't think that he brings a lot to the table. I don't think he's a dynamic player. I'm pretty negative when it comes to him. But tonight he came on. I think he had five or six shots, which is good. Mm-hmm. He assisted on the goal, which was a very unselfish play. And we're talking about a game where players are trying to prove themselves and make sure that they get on that 23-man roster. And we even mentioned it during the game that maybe another player, you know, he was in a pretty decent position for himself there, but instead he picked his head up and found Sasha Kljestan for what ended up being the winner. And that, to me, was almost more impressive than his goal, was that he was still playing a team game and trying to have the team succeed at that moment rather than take the individual glory and get two goals.
Yeah, and I think what you're talking about there, Ching didn't start the game. He came on as a second-half substitute. Connor Casey and
Robbie Findlay
started the game up top. And I think what you're alluding to is Robbie Findlay seemed like the kind of player that really knew this was his chance to prove it, and so he was going to prove it. And maybe as a result, he kind of sacrificed the team in favor of himself.
I think that's an interesting thing with a game like this, where you've got to impress as an individual.
Yeah,
but you've also got to balance that with still playing a team game.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, not making excuses for Robbie Findlay because I mean it was a selfish performance that didn't do him any favors.
Mm-hmm.
But I can see why you'd be tempted to think about yourself more than the team in this situation.
Yeah, so we've talked about, I guess, the three forwards that were involved, but there was one more, where that'd be your man crush, Jeff Cunningham. What did you think of his performance this evening?
I have next to him, on one occasion, I have disinterested in my notes on the game, and the other one is lifeless.
Uh-huh.
And so I guess you could say he failed to impress, and maybe I'm not so enamored with him anymore. Uh-huh. I you know, it's a fleeting man crush, if that now. And
are you gonna break up with them via text, or is this gonna be a face to face kind of thing?
I think I'm gonna end it via Facebook. Would probably be the best way to end the relationship. I'm gonna unfriend them.
That's appropriately first, take away
the relationship status, and then unfriend him. I think that's where I'm going. But no, on a more serious note, when he came in, he just looked as though he was there and he was happy enough to be there, and he didn't seem intent on impressing people. I didn't see a lot of effort from him. You know, these guys aren't going to set the world on fire with their skill, I think, any of the guys in the game tonight. Yeah. Maybe with a possible exception here or there. What you're looking for is effort, and he just didn't show any effort, and that is what upset me the most.
Yeah.
I think it's also good when players, when they try to strike the ball, they connect with it. And I remember Jeff Cunningham sort of failed to do that on one occasion.
Yeah,
he had a pretty solid whiff there. But I guess, so if we're getting back to the forward situation, so as we've mentioned before, Josie Altidore playing for Hull City is probably your lead striker. Charlie Davies, who plays in France, coming off of a pretty severe injury, he looks to be number two if he's fit. And now, I got to be honest, I feel like maybe Brian Ching has put himself in as the number three.
After this game and what Finley did and what
Cunningham and Casey.
Yeah, I'd almost have to put Ching as three. I don't want to do it myself, but...
Do we have Casey as four?
Yeah,
I think.
He did okay. He did okay Wednesday night. Right?
He had a very shiny head. That's definitely true. He did have that.
Is that a positive or a negative?
Well, it attracts attention, you know. Like
it could blind the goalies you're shooting. So.
There you go. And it could be many things are attracted to light, and so I assume like a big shiny head, maybe a defender will look that way instead of looking at the ball, and then you know it's in the goal. Who knows?
Okay,
that's wishful thinking.
In favor of Connor Casey as well, he was on that Confederations Cup squad, which we've talked about on numerous occasions as being kind of a blueprint for what maybe Bob Bradley wants to do again in South Africa.
And you're listening to the Total Football Soccer Show here on WRIR in Richmond, and we're discussing last night's 2-1 victory for the USA over El Salvador. We've discussed the forward situation. Now I did want to talk about the midfield. One player in particular that I found hilariously entertaining, perhaps for the wrong reasons, is a man by the name of Kyle Beckerman. He's the dreadlock center mid who currently plays for Real Salt Lake in MLS. I personally thought going into this one that maybe he had a chance to make the squad. One person who didn't would be Alberto Totti. I counted, 16 negative comments or sarcastic remarks made about Mr. Beckerman. What's your beef there, Albert?
It's not good.
Fair enough. Josh, what do you think about that?
Well, he obviously gives the ball away a lot and makes a couple, you know, rash challenges. But I'm pretty sure my favorite part of the game for Beckerman was when Sasha Kljestan scored the second goal to put the U.S. ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Beckerman was already off the field. These two are essentially fighting for a spot on the U.S. national team. And Kljestan runs straight up to Beckerman, and Beckerman gives him this little half-hearted hug. And you can just tell he's got this little evil smile being like, yeah, you scored, great.
Yeah, I think we all know that feeling well, and I think it's what we were talking about before with the idea that it's like you want your country to win, you want to get the result, but it's also like, man, I hope he misses his touch. Man, I hope he whiffs this shot, because you know it's like for every good thing he does, it makes you look that much worse. That man in this case being Sasha Kljestan, who I think is another guy who was sort of on the bubble and may have made a bigger impression than we expected tonight.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I mean, he looked a lot better on the ball than Kyle Beckerman.
That's saying a lot.
And he seemed to do that sort of Clint Dempsey thing of getting in goal-scoring positions as well. I know he had two shots, I think, in the first half.
Yeah,
yes. Mm-hmm.
And then he obviously scored the winner, which is pretty important.
Mm-hmm. One thing I did want to say about Kyle Beckerman, I was actually keeping track of the number of times that he directly just gave it away to the other team, be it... I didn't necessarily do like bad balls in, but it was just kind of like errant passes and stuff like that. 11 times he directly passed the ball to El Salvador.
He was subbed off the 78th minute. So that was through 78 minutes of soccer.
Yeah.
I just want to be clear.
Yeah, that was not maybe the strongest performance, but it looks like Darryl wants to defend Kyle Beckerman again.
I don't want to defend him because he didn't really play well, but... I think it's interesting that maybe when you don't want a player to succeed and you focus on the negative things he does and literally write them down in a little book like you two guys did.
No, that is true. But I didn't make the sarcastic quips. What actually prompted it was I didn't even do it in the first 30 minutes. It was after I watched him do it two times in a row where he passed the ball to an El Salvadorian player who actually passed it right back, and then he passed it back to another El Salvadorian player.
Okay, so you didn't start the game.
No, I'd actually been keeping track of the number of times the USA just gave it away, which was actually... over 45, which means that the USA actually gave the ball back to El Salvador once every 2 minutes, which isn't the best number when you look at time of possession. But Beckerman, he really pushed it to a new level tonight.
I will defend Beckerman. About the 31st minute in the first half, he had a great tackle on the ball. sent it up to Connor Casey, who played a ball to Kleshtin, and I think that's when he got his first shot on goal.
Yep.
It was one of our best moves of the game, to be honest, and he did start that. So, I mean, it's not like it was all bad. It just wasn't overall good.
Yeah. I think he'll probably wish he could have that game again.
Yeah.
Yeah. But if those are the players that maybe weren't too pleased with their performance, what midfielders would you say were?
Oh, I'd say in the second half, Eddie Gavin came on and really, I thought, was a bright spot. He was going at guys. He did a good job with that. He drew a couple fouls in good places. And I don't know where that puts him in the pecking order, but I think it enters him into the conversation where maybe before a lot of people had kind of forgotten about him. So I'd say tonight, he's got to be happy with tonight.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen a player who, like, literally and figuratively looked more hungry than Eddie Gavin.
Yeah.
he played really well, and he really clearly wanted to, you know, make an impact. But more than anything, I feel like he wanted a sandwich. That dude is like 98 pounds. I don't understand how he did anything. That's my second reference to the U.S. national team players weighing a certain amount. Maybe I need to move on from that.
I will say he did look up for the game, and I thought another player looked up for the game in the midfield was Robbie Rogers. He did have a couple big mistakes, but all in all, he looked willing to attack, willing to make a play, and he played some really good free kicks too.
Yeah, for me, you could make that argument. I would make the argument that he kind of resembled another player that seemed like he knew this was his chance to make an impact, and so you saw him maybe taking shots when he shouldn't, like when he could have, you know, dished it off to the middle for maybe a wide open goal. Instead, he's trying to rip it, and he, you know, shoots it, you know, wide of the goal, or he shoots it off the crossbar or off the post, excuse me, which, you know, to some is maybe a good result. It was a good shot from 20 yards out. But to me, it's another example of maybe not being able to find the target when you really need to.
I think the more important one was when he had it sort of right inside the 6-yard box on his left foot. He had two options to pass, and he tried to shoot inside that near post, and he hit it wide and into the side netting. And I think when we're looking at this game as a pressure situation where players could prove themselves, there's sort of an analogy there between that being a pressure situation and a World Cup game, where every minute is a pressure situation. And the fact that he made the wrong decision while under pressure, I think that speaks very negatively to Robbie Rogers in that sense.
Yeah, and speaking of wrong decisions, I believe there was another player who made a rather big one this evening. Anybody want to take that one?
Mr. Evans?
Yeah, that'd be the one.
Yeah. I believe it's Brad Evans who started out in the back tonight. He was playing right back for the United States, and I didn't know much about him going into the game, so I was a little excited, actually. Oh, a fresh face.
And yeah, probably don't need to know anything about him now.
Yeah, no, I would say after the howler that was in the second half, it was in the 59th minute, and I have written down Evans' terrible header back towards the keeper led to the El Salvadorian goal, and that's a succinct explanation as to what happened. It was a terrible header that he could have just played out for a corner, but instead headed it directly in the path of the El Salvadorian forward, who dispatched it neatly.
Yeah, I just have Evans written in capitals with an equals and then done with a big exclamation mark. Maybe that's a bit harsh, but I think that for a player who's trying to prove himself, again, while on like the pressure stage, to kind of like an arguably easy header back to your keeper, for you to just kind of like make a howler of it and set up an El Salvadorian goal, maybe not the best display for a defender.
I would say I'd jump in on that. The interesting thing was he had his back to the play, meaning he was running towards the end line, while Bornstein was actually coming and backing him up, had a much better play on the ball. Yeah. And I know Bornstein hasn't played center back. They've never played together, so maybe that the communication wasn't perfect, but it probably should have been Bornstein's ball too, to be honest.
Once again, you're listening to the Total Football Soccer Show here in Richmond on WRIR 97.3, radio for the rest of us, and we're currently talking about the USA's 2-1 victory over El Salvador and the defenders that made it possible. Albert, what other defenders did you think had a good showing last night?
I thought Clarence Goodson played really well. He played the entire game at center back alongside Josh Bornstein, and he had a couple really good tackles in the first half, and then in the second half when he came forward on set pieces, I thought he was really dangerous in the air. And that to me is a key, because he's a guy with a lot of size. You know, I think he's 6'3", 6'4", and so when you have that guy on the field, he needs to be making things happen in the box when he gets there.
I would say also to tackle on with Goodson, he made a tackle pretty early on in the game around the 22nd minute that led to a good build up in the first half too. So he not only made the tackles, but he made an outlet pass too.
I think when you're looking at the guys tonight trying to get into the World Cup squad, the 23-man roster, you're looking at them as backups to players that are going to start. So if you think of, say, Gusii Onyewu as a starter, then I think watching Goodson tonight, it was like watching someone who could come in and replace Onyewu if needed.
Yeah.
I mean, he's similar height, like both about 6'4 or so.
Yeah. I was pretty shocked by the fact that it was only his ninth appearance for the USA.
Yeah, he looked kind of assured.
Yeah, he really did. Mm-hmm. He looked calm, much more so than his counterparts, I'd say. Except for maybe Heath Pierce, who I think also had an pretty stellar performance tonight.
I agree. I think Heath Pierce had an outstanding game from the left back going forward. Played a lot of good balls, made a lot of good, strong runs up top or up front.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's another guy who maybe wasn't on the radar before. He's a fairly older player. He actually went out. He was trying to find a club to play with, and there were a couple of different offers in England that didn't materialize, and now he's playing back in MLS. So I really wasn't expecting all that much from him, which is, you know, maybe a surprising thing to say, considering I'm fairly certain he's figured prominently in this whole qualifying campaign.
Yeah, I'd say he's actually not that old. He's only 25.
Okay, never mind. He's actually younger than Goodson, so never mind. I'm going to go with journeyman, then. That's the word I'm going
to
use.
I know Pierce used to be sort of a lot more involved than he has been recently. I think he played in 9 of the qualifying games for the World Cup. I know that because I heard John Harkes say it on the TV.
Yeah, if there's a man you can trust, it's John Harkes.
Let's not go there.
Fair enough. So we've talked about, I guess, all the players all over the pitch. We probably don't need to talk about Nick Raimondo, the maybe fourth, fifth, third string goalie. Whatever it is, he's too busy eating cake right now to really care.
Yeah, he was looking kind of heavy.
I think a little is a very nice way to describe
him. Actually, him and the El Salvador keeper.
We're just trading blows like there.
A blubber off. See, who could have the most roles?
Oh, why isn't that an Olympic event? I want a blubber off. That's phenomenal, Daryl.
But what about, actually, apart from his appearance, what do you think of his performance?
I think he didn't really have that much to do aside from watch the ball go past him.
He was
one goal.
The goal wasn't his fault, obviously. Sorry.
Yeah, he was just hung out to dry on the goal. It's just poor defending kind of makes it impossible for a goalie to do anything.
With all these other players, obviously they're playing for, you know, they're playing for their spot. They're really trying to prove themselves. And it seems like with a goalkeeper, all you can really do is make the saves that are required of you, but it doesn't seem like there's any real way to prove yourself other than like maybe you get 20 shots on target and you save them all. But like in this one, he had maybe a couple shots on target, I'm not even sure how many, and a goal goes in and people remember it for 2-1. Not like Nick Raimondo played well and kind of was hung out to dry. And so I think maybe like the goalkeeper position is the one where maybe it doesn't really quite matter what you do game to game. It's kind of like the like long term playing for your club, playing for country. What happens with you?
And probably a lot to do with how you play in the camps and stuff like that.
Yeah, for sure. Because I mean, you look at it like we thought Troy Perkins, who's the other option to maybe make the World Cup, is the third string keeper behind Tim Howard and Brad Guzan. Like we thought he was going to start tonight, and he didn't even figure. No. So I mean, maybe it is that Nick Raimondo maybe didn't eat for a couple days and lost a couple pounds. And came out and played well.
Well, speaking of what's going on in the camps, do you think maybe there's a correlation between Nick Raimondo being kind of big and you noticing the outfield players looking kind of skinny?
I do like to think that like the goalkeepers get released from training 5 minutes early and Nick Raimondo just kind of holds court on all the food. And
so maybe Eddie, lunch counter first.
Eddie Gavin just gets to put like an Oliver and it's like, please, sir, I'd like some food. Like, no! Nick Raimondo, I must feed my frame. I don't know why he became so imposing and southern, but he did. All right, so I think we've thrown out a lot of names now. USA, obviously, they're going to have a 23-man roster for this summer's World Cup. Based on last night's performance, who would you say increased their chances of making that roster? Why don't you guys each take a player? Josh, I'll let you start.
All right, reluctantly, I'm going to go with Brian Ching, our nemesis. We obviously aren't the biggest fans.
Daryl's best friend.
We obviously aren't the biggest fans, but he did play a good game, and I think he really impressed Bob Bradley and actually impressed me, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, off that, you can't really argue with the performance a person gives in an actual game, and for that reason, I think Clarence Goodson, I was pretty high on him after he scored a goal in our previous friendly, and he only impressed me more tonight. He seemed like the calmest defender that we had. He went out and, like I said, you know, aside from good tackles and distributing the ball well out of the back, he was dangerous up top when he went forward. And I don't know if there's much more you can ask for out of a reserve center back, which is what he would most likely be.
All right, so Brian Ching, Clarence Goodson, and Daryl, your pick?
I'm going to go with one of the fullbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guess which one?
I'm going to go Heath Pierce.
Yeah,
not Brad Evans.
Although, as an England fan, maybe Brad Evans for you. I'm sure you'd be all right with that.
No, I was very impressed with Heath Pierce, especially going forward. Didn't he provide the cross for Ching's header?
Yeah,
he did.
So, getting forward as a left back, you can't really argue with that.
Mm-hmm. I've already decided that Sasha Kleistein is going to make it, so I'm not even going to name him. I'm going to go with Nick Raimondo, just because I want another chance to maybe see him try to like eat an entire pie while making a save. I think that would be a first for World Cup.
Let's be honest, you just want to see him take a goal kick and see everything move.
That's an image. maybe we should move on from that as quickly as possible to discuss what. So, what players? If those are the three that we think made a claim, or I guess four. Maybe we should then say who are the players that we think maybe didn't do so well this evening, and probably will be making other plans this summer.
All right. Well, I don't want to rain on Albert's parade too much, but I am going to call it Jeff Cunningham on this one for his lifeless performance.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Albert's so sad over there. I'm so sorry, Al.
I'm a defeated man right now. I don't know what to say. I had high hopes for him. But I'm going to say, with a big smile on my face, Kyle Beckerman does not make it on that plane. And I am happy, happy as a lark. So happy.
Happy? What is a lark?
A happy bee. A happy bean is what it is.
All right, Daryl, what about you? Who do you think hurt themselves tonight?
Yeah, I think clearly Brad Evans. That header that gifted El Salvador a goal, I think he's the obvious guy that will just regret this game completely.
Mm-hmm. Sadly for me, I'd agree with that. I think the other player who really, like, the lasting image I'm going to have isn't going to be that the header that set up the El Salvadorian goal. It's going to be Robbie Finley. After he'd been substituted out, they cut to him a couple times, and you could just see him just sitting on the sidelines, like, knowing this was my chance. Yeah. I didn't do well. And you could just see it in his face. It's like, oh, I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to make it. And it makes me sad because, you know, I wanted to do well, but I think that he may find himself on the outside looking in.
I thought that was very uncharitable of ESPN.
Yeah,
it really is. Yeah, they want the human story.
It's like stomping on man when he's down. only Rooney would do that.
Or Nick Raimondo if someone's trying to steal his food. So we move on from there. Okay, so then next Wednesday, March the 3rd, USA is taking on Netherlands in Netherlands, not surprisingly. That kickoff is scheduled for 2:30 p.m., and that squad will probably be a little bit different. Daryl, since you're European, do you want to explain why that might be the case?
Because that game is going to be in Europe, it's going to be European-based players,
right?
Which tend to be the better players, because they're the guys who've been picked up by European teams.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a much stronger U.S. team.
All right, so real quick before we go, I'll ask then in that coming tie, who's one player or one thing you're looking forward to about that match? Josh, you want to go?
Sure, why not? I'm actually looking forward to Josie Altidore. Mm-hmm. He's been playing, but he hasn't been like lighting the world up or anything, but I'd like to see if him playing the EPL, playing against stronger physically and gifted defenders, mm-hmm. how much that'll help him against a top-notch team.
Albert, yourself?
I think because it might be one of the biggest keys to our success in South Africa, I'm really looking forward to seeing how our defense plays, especially knowing that Aguchi Onyewu is not going to be there. Kind of how we fill a gap in our strong, hopefully strong defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's the question is who's going to partner Demerit?
Mm-hmm.
But that's not, I suppose I can't steal Albert. So I think I'm most looking forward to seeing Landon Donovan. He's on a high the way he's been playing for Everton.
Mm-hmm.
He's in form, so I think it'll be good to see if he can carry that over and take on the Netherlands, who are one of the better nations out there.
Wow, you just stole mine. So I'll just say I'm curious to see who's going to partner Josie Altidore up top. Could be Freddie Adu, could be Eddie Johnson. No one really knows, but it'll be an exciting thing to see. So make sure you turn in. Don't even mention that name. Still a little bit angry. So make sure you turn in next Wednesday, March the 3rd at 2:30 p.m. on one of the random ESPN channels. And
ESPN2.
Until then, say goodbye, Josh.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Albert.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Daryl.
Goodbye.
All right, and we'll talk to you next week, hopefully after the USA triumph in Netherlands.